By grace you are saved, lest any man boast. Ephesians 2. Let's take a look at verses 8 and 9, which is another version of the scripture that I just read to you. God saved you by his special favor when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. I want to just tuck that verse away in the corner of our hearts and share with you something that the Lord's been showing me about storms. John 6:18 says, "Soon a gale swept down upon them as they rowed, and the sea grew very rough." I thought that one verse is a real slice of life, that gales, storms in our lives can happen suddenly. When we were in Ghana, we had a team worship night, and Barry, who was on that team, put together a little skit which he asked us to join him in, and it centered around the song "Row, Row, Row Your Boat." Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And as I read John 6:18, I thought, yeah, there's those times when we're just rowing along merrily and everything's a dream, everything's going great. And then John 6:18 happens. Soon a gale swept down upon them as they rowed, and the sea grew very rough. And for many people, the going is very rough. It's difficult. And many times it comes upon us suddenly. There's those times where the going is rough because of poor choices that we made, and those choices stack up, and then we find ourselves in the midst of calamity. But many times the gale comes soon because of the circumstances, perhaps of a loved one, because of sickness, because of tragedy, because of accidents, and even because of death. There's many of those soon gales that sweep down on us as we go along in life, and we find that the circumstances can become almost instantaneously very rough. And it's in those times that the Lord counsels us what to do. What we need to do is to throw out the anchor in our heart, those things that God has put in our hearts of stability, of serenity, of peace in the midst of trying circumstances. We need to jettison any excess, anything that doesn't please him, or anything that he never meant for us to carry or to bear. And there's parallels to that in Acts of the Apostles, when we see another storm that comes up suddenly, and Paul is at sea at the time, and we see the strategies that the captain and the crew use in the midst of the storm. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, and in verse 4, they say, "Putting out to sea from there, we encountered headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course." So that's obstacles coming against them. Headwinds is something that's coming right from the front of the boat at them, making it difficult to stay on course. And verse 7 says, "We had several days of rough sailing. And after great difficulty, we finally neared a port city, but the wind was against them. So they sailed down," they continued, "and they struggled along," it says in verse 8. "They struggled along with great difficulty before they arrived at fair havens." And then Paul counseled with the ship's officers, saying, "I believe it's trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, injuries and dangers to our lives." But the officer decided to push on anyway. And then in verse 13, it says, "A light wind began blowing up from the south, and they thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed. but the weather changed abruptly. Verse 14, the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength caught the ship and blew it out to sea. They couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. It said that they hoisted the lifeboat with great difficulty. They banded the ship together with ropes to strengthen the hull. They were afraid, and they lowered the sea anchor. And the sea anchor was something that would give them more stability to slow the ship down. But in this case, it wasn't enough. And they say they even threw out the ship's equipment and anything else they could lay their hands on. So when I read this, I thought, well, this is the same strategies, really, in a physical realm that the Lord spoke to me about in the spiritual realm, to throw out the anchors of our heart, to stabilize the ship, to stabilize our course in life with the stability of the Word of God, which is like an anchor within us, no matter what the storm is. And also to take those times in life to jettison anything that doesn't please God or anything that doesn't serve Him in our lives, to lighten the load. In Jonah 1:4, another sudden storm comes up. As you can see, the Bible is full of sudden storms. In Jonah 1:4, but as the ship was sailing along, suddenly the Lord flung a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to send them to the bottom. Now we know what's happening here is Jonah is running away from the Lord. He's running away from his purpose in life. He's running away from his calling. He's determined not to do what God told him to do, and he gets aboard this ship. And as the ship was sailing along, everything seemingly fine, that he could go his own way, disobey the Lord, do whatever it was that he wanted to do, suddenly a tremendous wind, a violent storm, that threatens to send the ship to the bottom. Now, the crew was fearing for their lives, and they asked their false gods for help, and they threw the cargo overboard, the same strategies that we heard about in Acts of the Apostles. And then they find out from Jonah that he's the cause of the problems. In verse 9, Jonah says, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Then he told him he was running away from the Lord. And the sailors were terrified at that. And they said, why did you do it? And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? Jonah says, throw me into the sea and it will become calm again. For I know that this terrible storm is my fault. Now, Jonah is a prophet, and he had an understanding of why the storm was there. He knew what he had done. He knew what God was doing, and he was giving them the solution to the problem. But they didn't like his solution. They were afraid. Perhaps they were afraid, as it shows us actually in verse 14, they were afraid that God would avenge himself upon them for throwing Jonah overboard. So they thought, well, let's try another strategy. In verse 13, it tells you the strategy they tried. The sailors, instead of obeying God, the sailors tried even harder to row the boat ashore. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. And this is oftentimes our position. We don't want to go God's way. It doesn't make sense to us. Sometimes we don't see that his strategy of, in this case, throwing Jonah overboard, they couldn't see that that strategy was going to have the desired effect. Didn't make sense to their human mind, so they chose to do it their way. And so often we find ourselves in the same position where God may be telling us to humble ourselves, and that doesn't make sense to our humanity. So we try to do it our way, and we row even harder, determined to bring it all into right alignment, to row the boat ashore in this case, to find safety in the midst of the great storm through our own means. It says, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. And that's what our story will be also if we refuse to submit to the Lord. We find that the storms of life are too much for us, and people often come to a point where they say they can't make it. But when they obeyed the Lord, when they did what the Lord told them to do, they threw Jonah into the raging sea. Verse 15 says, the storm stopped at once, and the sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power. And this is the word that the Lord is speaking to us in times of storms. He says in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12, return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. That he would save us from the waterless pit. He will save us from the pit filled with water. He will save us. Which brings us back to Ephesians 2. By grace we were saved, that we cannot boast in our own efforts. Are you rowing as fast as you can? Are you rowing as hard as you can? Are you trying to reach a shore that seems so distant at this moment? Is your sea very rough? Is your storm come up suddenly and sweep upon you? It's the time today to realize that God doesn't want anyone to boast out of how they got themselves out of their own trouble. He got us out of trouble through the blood of Jesus Christ crucified at the cross. And he invites us today to return to our fortress, which is the covenant that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ, the covenant of life, a covenant of salvation, that we would be prisoners, not of a storm, not of a gale, not prisoners of the troubles of life or the circumstances, not harassed in our minds and in our hearts day and night, not caught up and chained by those kinds of terrible thoughts and fears, but that we would become prisoners of hope, enclosed in a safe keeping with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, so filled with hope that he is the way out, that his strategies are life and peace and health for us. And we would boast not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ, who is the captain, of our own little boats as we go navigating through life. He's the one that sets the course. He's the one that knows how to lead us safely to our destination. And today's the day that we can all make a decision to stop rowing and to obey the Lord, no matter how strange it seems to our human minds, to obey him with all of our hearts, that he would be glorified and we would know his peace, even in the midst of our storms.